another podcast provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting. Document Management for Accountants to Go is a monthly discussion with Executive Editor Greg LaFollette and Document Management Expert John Higgins.
Hello, Greg LaFollette, recording Intersection Live. Today we're recording Accounting Document Management for Accountants, episode number 3. We have our regular featured columnist, John Higgins. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Greg.
John, tell me a little bit about what you're doing here during with you and your partner and your group out there in Detroit. It's busy season for accountants, but you're still grinding away trying to help accounting firms figure out what to do in the paperless world, right?
Yeah, we've got a few projects going on right now where we're helping on one hand helping a firm with the selection of a new practice management system, and we also have a pretty substantial project with an organization that's actually a private accounting firm, helping them to implement a document management solution. So we're keeping busy, waiting for the rest of the CPAs to get through their busy season.
Sure, and I happened to say hi to your partner Brian Smith the other day as I was walking on one of the moving walkways in the G concourse of the Minneapolis airport, and he was going the other way. And you go by pretty fast when you're both walking on those things. And I said hi, Brian. And he said hi, and that was kind of it. So I know you guys get a fair amount of time with CPA Crossings as you continue to grow that organization. You're pretty much all over the country. I sure again thank you a lot for taking time out to record Document Management for Accountants. We've gotten real good feedback from accounting firms around the country, and they've been listening to us in our first couple of forays here, and I was a little bit concerned when we started talking about this if we'd have enough material, that we'd be able to do this month after month. And after talking for just a little bit, John, you convinced me that we could probably do this for 45 minutes or an hour every month. Heck, we could probably do it every week and never run out of material. Doesn't it seem that way?
Yeah, there's definitely lots of material to cover, and the market continues to evolve, so there's always new products and solutions coming out there, so it's a lot to keep on top of, actually.
Well, there are somewhere near 35 or 40 right now different companies with different products marketing to the tax and accounting profession, the CPA firms, the bookkeepers and tax practitioners and payrolls, and all of the different people in the tax and accounting profession get hammered by everybody from couple hundred dollar very simple document storage kind of really just labeling systems and filing systems to very, very elaborate, very high-end, literally, you could spend $100,000, couldn't you, John?
Sure, yeah. No? If you really want to take everything completely digital, right. That's not all that beyond the realm of possibility by any means.
So there's a product for everybody, and let's spend a couple of minutes talking about a year ago we started recognizing this problem, and I had readers would send a note in, or we'd get a question after a presentation, and people would say just tell me what product to buy. And I know, John, you've been kind enough to do our reviews. They're so big that we have to divide them into document storage, document management. Everybody slices this different. So with your help, John, we went out and built a free web-based service that we call the Document Management Product Selector. It exists on our website, the CPA Technology Advisor website. That's cpata.com or cpatechadvisor.com. It's fairly prominent there. You click on that link for a document selector. And what we did, John, is I tried to put your brain in a box It was hard to fit it in there, but we with your help and guidance and that from quite a few other of the consultants and the people that serve the profession, we went out and narrowed down to, I don't know, 30 or 40 different questions, some things that are pretty important for firms to identify just what it is that they intend to accomplish when they, quote, go paperless or move to a digital office. And we put all of those questions into this anonymous web-based tool, and a firm can go and answer all those questions, and we match those answers with the 15 or 20 different partners. And we'll tell you these are people who helped us, who helped defray the development costs, because that's not cheap. So it's not every product in the business, but it's enough of them that you get a real good cross selection. And we take all of those, whatever it is, I think we've got 18 or 20 or 22 different products that we analyze, and we select the three that most closely match the scenario that you described. And sometimes that's a lot easier, John, if you tell somebody, here's the first three that you should look at, than here's 35 to look at. It seems a little easier to manage. We've had a lot of firms, several hundreds of firms actually have taken that survey and gotten the report, and hopefully that's helped them at least get started. I'm real grateful to you, John, for your help in putting that together. Have you had a chance to visit with any of the firms that have gone through that process?
No, I haven't talked to any firms that have done that directly. I've actually gone through and done the survey a couple of times myself just to get more familiar with it. And, one of the points I would make is that there's 27 questions there, and the questions themselves are of a lot of value, because it really helps you as an accounting or tax practitioner to really understand the kinds of things you should be thinking about before you start going out and shopping for systems. So it's I would encourage any of you who take that survey, first of all, that you should take it, and secondly, that you should be very thoughtful as you go through the questions and not just run down the list and hit the radio buttons, because it really, I think, forces you to think about what is important. And then, of course, as you said, Greg, there's over 40 different products out there in the marketplace, and by helping narrow it down to three starters, you can really focus looking at those three solutions, and every time you look at a different vendor solution, you become that much more educated about what you like and don't like, and what capabilities are out there in the different solutions. So it's definitely a worthwhile process to go through, because it's just going to help you become a more educated buyer, as they say.
The interesting thing to me is I've talked to people who have taken it, and there are questions in there, for example, on what kind of an audit trail are you looking for? And there's everything from complete lockdown, absolute audit trail of everybody that ever accessed a document and things like that, to none at all, and everything in between. And I've had firms come to me and say, we took the survey, and when I saw that question, just as an example, not that necessarily that particular question, but I saw that question and I went, wow, that was something we hadn't even considered. We hadn't even thought about that particular feature or benefit or complexity. And for some firms, it would just be a complexity. For others, it would be an absolute necessity.
Right.
So... Yeah. That's probably a fairly decent segue, John, into what we wanted to talk about today a little bit, was this whole idea of evaluation and selection. So when a firm, and I think that this year, my guess is in the next 2 years, we're going to have the remaining 50 or 55% of the firms right now, by the data that I see from our productivity survey and just from talking to firms around the country and to talking to vendors, I think we have about half of the firms, or just slightly less than half of the firms, maybe 45%, have purchased a document management system. They say they're paperless, or they're moving down that road, and so they've made their selection. The other half of the firms, or 45%, will move to paperless in the next couple of years, and that's pretty much based on the Jeffrey Moore's curve. You know, it takes about four times as long to get the first half as it does to get the second half. You know, once you get that kind of that critical mass, the rest of the people come really quickly. So I believe in the next couple of years, we're going to see tens of thousands of firms jumping on the bandwagon. So the first thing that they ought to be doing, I think we've decided we're going to tell them, is they ought to go to the CPATA.com website and take that productivity survey. You'll get emailed back that report, and it'll show you a couple, three different products that at least give you a place to start. And I would encourage you to not buy the least objectionable of those three, but that'll be a good place to, it'll be certainly be a good place to start. What's the second thing they ought to do? How do you do this whole evaluation and selection, John? What's a firm supposed to do?
Well, I think a very good next step after doing the document management selector survey would also be to go to the magazine, and we're going to be having two issues in the spring and summer that will cover the evaluation of probably about, by the time it's all said and done, there'll probably be close to 20 different solutions, where we're going to have the description of each of those solutions and how we rate them compared to the others in the different categories. So that would be a great next step to get, you know, further your knowledge about what's out there in the marketplace. And maybe we could talk a little bit about today, what are some of those key aspects or criteria that we're going to use in those reviews to help you evaluate the different solutions out there and give you some insight into what items we feel are important for you to be looking at as you shop the market.
Okay, so if we were reviewing cars, we'd probably rank horsepower and braking distance and trunk space, some things like that. That's what you mean by the things that we're going to review in the DMS reviews.
Yeah, exactly. We've got basically six broad categories that we're going to be focusing on, and just kind of run through them quickly, and we can drill into them as we want to. But
okay.
Usability, scanning, integration, workflow, portal, and just overall technology. Those are kind of like the six broad categories.
Okay.
And so if we start with usability and just talk briefly about that, that's actually a pretty broad category, but it's just that overall usability of the system, it's the learning curve, how intuitive is the system for you to work with, ease of use, does it look really complicated when you're working with the system, or is it very intuitive when you first view it? Because that's so important, especially if the people working in your organizations are in an environment where they'll have the choice to either use the traditional Windows Explorer model for storing documents and files, or going through the document management system.
Sure.
And what inevitably happens is if the document management system isn't really intuitive and easy to work with, they'll gravitate and fall back to going back into the Windows Explorer model. So that's key.
Okay. So do you recommend, just as an aside, when a firm does that, do you recommend that they lock people out and demand that everybody use the system so they can't circumvent it, or do you?
Yes. Change is difficult for many people, and where I've seen the most success in organizations in terms of really getting the adoption of the document management system is where they've done exactly that, Greg, where they say, okay, as of this date certain, we've got everybody trained, we've got our files moved into the system, and now we're ready to start using it. When they lock down access to the traditional Windows Explorer window, doorway, if you will, into the system, then you might hear a little more grumbling in the early stages just because, again, it's new for people, but those are the organizations that end up having the most successful implementation.
Okay. That certainly makes sense. I mean, I agree. Nobody likes change. Well, I mean, unless it's their idea.
Right.
then it's good change. So let's go back to this first of those criteria is we used to call that user friendly. I've learned a long time ago to hate software that said it was user friendly, but that's really kind of what we're thinking about, isn't it?
Yes, and you'll notice that if you go out and start looking at, say, if you take the document selector survey and you get the three solutions, and you I always recommend having a web-based demo of the package with the vendor because that's convenient for everybody and doesn't infringe on your time too much. But you'll see then you'll immediately start to form opinions and say, oh, this system is really I get it. It's very very clear to me how the documents are filed and organized and retrieved. Whereas another system may seem very awkward to you, and you have to be a little bit careful about that first impression because sometimes that interface may just be so new to you that it's a little bit awkward. But as you get a little more comfortable with it, you may say, oh, this really it makes a lot more sense and gives me a lot more flexibility in terms of how I can store and retrieve my documents. So that whole, that again, that interface and the intuitiveness is key, and you won't really be able to judge that other than by looking at a few different solutions and getting a feel for how they differ from one another. A big part of that, too, is just the whole methodology that the vendor chooses to use as far as how the documents and files are organized. Many of the vendors prefer to mimic the Windows Explorer folder model with, kind of a tree-based folder because that's, such familiar territory for so many of us that have been working with Windows for a number of years. Whereas some other vendors will use a more of a pure metadata indexing model where you don't have to look at a folder tree or folder structure. Instead, it's just about focusing on putting in some combination of data values, index values that you've established, client name, type of document, engagement years, and mixing and matching those metadata values to pull up a hit list of the documents that you're looking for. So those are probably the two broad approaches that you see will differ from one vendor to the other.
Sure.
And in fact, some vendors will give you the option to go either way. You can actually
kind of switch it back and forth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and even probably down to the user level, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So that certainly makes sense. So that's kind of the first big category in the criteria that you're going to use in the evaluation. And the second one, John, was what did you say?
Well, the second one was scanning, but Well, another point I wanted to make about usability, because it's such a broad category,
sure.
If I may. The whole approach that the vendor takes to annotating your documents, because you need to understand, of course, that as you scan your documents in, your supporting tax documents or your audit work papers, whatever they may be, you're going to want to be able to mark them up, just like you do with your paper-based system. You have maybe colored pencils and different symbols you use and things like that to annotate or mark up the document. So there's two basic approaches to how annotation is done. Some vendors have incorporated proprietary symbols and tick marks that are just inherent with the software, and so when you bring up a document, scanned in document, you can just go ahead and mark those documents electronically with their tools. Other vendors rely exclusively on the capabilities of Adobe Acrobat, that becomes your primary tool for actually annotating the files. And we could have a whole discussion about the pros and cons of one approach versus the other, but you just need to understand that those are two approaches that are out there in the marketplace, and you need to be familiar with what the pros and cons are of
right.
the two of those.
Right. And that's really it's kind of personal opinion, isn't it? I mean, one isn't At a base level, one's not better than the other.
That's a good point. I think that my perspective is the advantage of when they have the proprietary annotation tools built in. If you're comfortable with what those tools are, what the symbols are, the set of symbols you have to work with and so forth, well, then you can theoretically reduce your cost of deployment because you may not need Adobe Acrobat. But the reality of it is, I think we're at a point in time where in an accounting and tax practice, Adobe Acrobat is as important in the toolbox of every individual as is Microsoft Office. I mean, that's the point we've evolved to. So then the advantage that Acrobat and PDF files bring to the table is that by using that as your annotation tool, you become a little bit less dependent on the document management vendor, so that if you decide, okay, 2 years down the road, we're going to move from vendor A to vendor B, you can be confident that your annotations are all going to be transportable to the new system because they're part of the PDF file and not part of the DMS system. And this market's evolving. It's going to be interesting to see, Greg, over the next few years is how many practices end up moving to a new solution, or do they continue to stay with the solution they started with, maybe a year or two ago?
Well, sure, and that's that. I believe that will happen. Many people who started very very early in this transition to paperless started with a document, what we would today call a document storage system, that was state of the art, in 1999, but now there are products that have evolved much farther than that, and so the question is, do I stick with the girl that I brought to the dance, or do I at some point say, okay, I'm going to move to a higher level, or do you wait for your vendor to bring you up to that level, or do you have needs that are that far down the road? Sometimes you just kind of decide that perhaps larger firms, lots of different folk, different departments, maybe different physical offices and things have sets of needs of that are necessary for them, but they would just be complexity for the traditional very small firm.
Yeah, and that's why you got to continually look at your situation, your own organization, and really get a good sense of, are you even taking advantage of the functionality that's in the software you already have, or are you just finding that you still have a lot of inefficiencies that could be overcome with maybe a better solution?
So one of the things, John, that I've been noticing is the number of add-ins that are available now for Adobe Acrobat, and many of the things that you described are actually just toolbar add-ins to Adobe Acrobat. And I don't mean to say just, because they're very complex, and I don't mean to be disrespectful to those programmers, but they're kind of like add-ins to Excel, or add-ins to Explorer, to your Internet Explorer or Firefox or whatever extensions. So a lot of firms are going out and getting, doing some customized tick marks and things, I really agree with you that the idea of having a machine without Adobe on it would be kind of foreign for me, and I think for an awful lot of firms.
Yeah, that's really where we've come to at this point.
Right. Okay. So that kind of covers that first big one. Then the whole idea of scan, John. There are many of the people that I've talked to that have been reluctant. They're going to be part of the late majority, or even the laggards, as Jeffrey Moore would call them, have used the idea, the reluctant to move to paperless, and they say, well, I can't become paperless because I've got, whatever it is, 40 file drawers full of stuff here, and I can't scan that all. I kind of look at them and say, well, if you just quit creating more paper, forget about scanning what you've already got, just quit creating more paper, and in a few years you'll have the problem solved. That's not the kind of scanning you're talking about, is it?
Well, that's what most firms we see taking that approach, where it's, I think you refer to it as a day-forward scanning approach, where they don't get too confused or too hung up on, should we go back and scan in all of our historical documents, but let's come up with a game plan so that going forward we're not creating more paper at one, and then we anything that is in paper-based with our upcoming engagements, we do in fact scan that in. And so when we talk about the functionality related to scanning, again, there's a lot of different things to discuss in that area. For example, does the scanning system that the document management vendor provides, does it provide for OCR capability, where which is an acronym for optical character recognition, and that's a process where you want to take your scanned documents, your scanned images, through a conversion process, if you will, so that the underlying content of the document is readable or interpretable by the application. So perhaps you can search for words within the document. Another example of scanning functionality would be just a broad category we'll call document cleanup. Does the scanning software despeckle the page for dots that are on there? Will it automatically eliminate blank pages?
Sure.
If the page is upside down, will it turn it right side up?
Deskew it if it's a little crooked.
Yes, exactly.
Sure.
So, you know, there's a lot of different little functionalities we would just put in that category called document cleanup.
Now, there are products out there that do things like that. The Kofax product, virtual rescan, that VRS product. Abbey Software has their product called FindReader. A lot of those ship with lots of different scanners, and that's out there. And a lot of software manufacturers kind of include those things in their products. So sometimes I find that firms are actually duplicating, and they've got these things running multiple places and not even noticing it. Do you see that?
Yeah, and that's an excellent point, because if you think about it, you've got, I guess, maybe three major pieces to that whole scanning process. You have the actual scanner equipment itself, you have the scanning software, and then you have the document management system. And some of the functionality for the scanning software is sometimes it's provided by the document management vendor, and as you said, sometimes it's provided by the scanning vendor, or sometimes it's a third party altogether. So as you're looking at different solutions, a couple points to make is be sure that you're comparing apples to apples when you're looking at the cost of the system in terms of, you know, are you getting all three of those pieces, and where are they coming from, and what is the cost of each of the three of those pieces. And you have a lot of options. Oh, the other point I wanted to make is that if you find a document management system and it looks really good to you, but maybe you're not comfortable it has all the depth of functionality on the scanning end of things, don't be too concerned, because you could handle the scanning functionality more or less externally to the document management system. You could go get a good scanner with the integrated, as you mentioned, VRS and Abbeysoft and some of those, and get the scanning taken care of with third-party products if the document management vendor doesn't seem to accommodate what you're looking for.
Right, because you have to start with a good image in order for any software to be able to do anything with it.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. So that kind of covers the scanning. I mean, we can talk about, because there's a whole bunch of things happening in the scanning world, especially in tax document automation. You know, lots of scan and organize and actually scan and pull numbers off and jam them into tax returns and scan and populate. Lots of different things happening there. So I think you look for that scanning to really advance in the future, to actually recognize what things are as they're scanned. I mean, do you see things happening like that not too far down the road, where you scan a document and your document management system is going to recognize what it is and automatically know what to do with it?
Yeah, there's some of that out there in the market today. One of the terms we use to describe that is as page scraping, where part of the scanning process, it'll know to look for certain information on a certain spot on the document, and it'll if that data is interpretable, then it can actually pick that information off the document and use it to index the file in the system automatically. So if it sees that it says it's a W-2 form, oh, then that means I have to index this as a document type we'll call W-2. Or you take it to the next level and say, well, here's the wages figure that's on that W-2 form. Well, let's actually take that data and populate our tax software with it. That's kind of the next generation of this. So it's, scanning is becoming a whole lot more than just taking a piece of paper and turning it into an image. It's really about taking the information on the paper and then dynamically doing things with that information, and it's pretty incredible when you think about where this technology is going. And we probably in the future should do a podcast session specifically on some of those tools and really drill in a little bit more about what the capabilities are out there in the marketplace.
Well, what you're describing is really, as it started, I remember, even 5 or 6 or 7 years ago when I first saw products that would do what I would call batch scanning. So you could take documents from 8 or 10 or 12 different clients, drop them in a scanner, and high-speed production scanner, and let the scanner scan all of them, and it would the scanning system would recognize what client stuff was related to based on a separator sheet that you had printed that had a barcode on it. And we looked at that and said, wow, that's absolutely incredible. And that was kind of the beginning of that. Do a lot of products still do things like that?
Yeah, I'd say there's a fair number of solutions out there that rely on that barcoding separator page concept, where that's the first step, where you take you would create a barcode, or you might have a predefined set of barcodes that you put those sheets in between the documents or on top of the document types, so that when you're scanning them in, the scanning process can interpret that barcode and use that to identify how the document gets indexed and organized in the system. So that's a fairly popular approach that a lot of vendors still take advantage of.
Well, that barcoding is very, very interesting, because it's a whole lot more accurate than OCR. And the service is really pushing the whole idea of barcoding on tax returns, and the Thompson Group is pushing the barcoding even of W-2s and things. They've established a standard and offered that up, and I know several of the other publishers are beginning to use that. So there's actually some emerging standards out there, so that not only do you as a document is scanned, scanners know exactly what it is, but they know exactly all the numbers and things and exactly what to do with it. So pretty soon it'll be just like that digital data never became analog. It was always digital.
Right.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and those things are all tools to just help accounting and tax professionals to be spending more time on really providing the value that they bring to their clients, and less time on just moving data and typing data. When it can be automated, that's good for everybody.
Sure. So let's kind of click down a couple of these other evaluation items that we were talking about. We've been talking a lot about scanning, and we talked a lot about the usability. The other ones were what again, John?
The other four were integration, workflow automation, portal, and then just overall kind of the technology, the infrastructure of the app, of the solution.
Okay. So integration, that's fairly obvious, but talk to me about what that means.
Well, there's a few different aspects of integration that you want to look for. In most accounting and tax firms, one of the most active points of integration is with the tax software, so that when you generate the final copy of the client's tax return, you save a PDF, and then can that PDF of the tax return be automatically filed and imported into the document management system. That's a real time saver, so that when you want to go back and review the tax return, it's already in the DMS. So that's a pretty common one, but a pretty important integration point.
Okay.
Another big one that we're seeing getting more and more attention is the integration with the email systems, particularly with Outlook. And there's really two aspects to that, both on the inbound and the outbound. On the inbound, we're seeing such an increase in communication and exchange of documents as attachments to email messages. So You want to look for good integration that will allow you to, with relative ease, take an email and either store the message entirely in the DMS system or at least be able to take out the attachments and selectively store those documents and files, those attachment documents and files, in the DMS. So that's a, you know, continues to be an important integration point.
So, John, we could probably, this another topic that occurs to me as you're talking about that we could talk, I know, for hours on is this whole question of e-discovery and e-evidence. In your experience, are there firms out there that are anywhere near able to meet those emerging requirements as it relates to email?
Well, I think there are firms that are able to do that in the sense that they have the technology, because there are some of the document management solutions provide the capability. The question then becomes, is that organization taking advantage of that capability and setting up their business processes to really leverage that? And that gets into the whole issue of document retention and audit controls and audit trails over the documents. So the technology is there, and a number of firms certainly have the technology in place, but I would have a question mark as to are they fully, you know, taking advantage of that and putting the policies and procedures around the technology to make sure they comply.
And my guess is that that a very, very high percentage of the small firms in America will depend on their technology supplier, their software supplier, their DMS manufacturer to build the appropriate tools for them to make that happen, because you know, on their own, I mean, these guys are busy. We're busy running an accounting practice during the day, and we have to manage all the rest of this stuff on nights and weekends, and that gets a little burdensome after a while.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. But the technology is there, so it's a matter of just making sure that you understand how the technology works and taking advantage of it.
So on the integration thing, it's just another case of. You know, if you happen to be using it, then I'll tell you that as we built the DMS product selector, one of the things that we built into it was a thing that we internally we called a super match, that said if you happen to be using, you know, for example, Lacert is your tax compliance product, and when you answered all of the questions that we posed to you, those whatever it is, 25 or 30 questions, and we calculated the closest match, and the Lacert document management system didn't rise to the top, it wasn't one of the top three, we think that integration is so important that we built into that report a special part of the report that said, you know what, even though this product over here, this in this case the Lacert document management system, didn't meet your criterion as close as these other products, integration is so important that you should go look at that too. Not saying that you should buy it necessarily, but you should go and look at it and understand the benefits of that real, real tight integration, because it's, you know, sometimes in the integration world we say integrated products only have to be good enough, and best of breed products have to be just that, best of breed.
Right.
So there's a bunch of integrated products, and then a bunch of them that just plain integrate, and then you've got this next category that's just absolutely huge. It says workflow. It's the biggest buzzword in the profession here lately. It's going to replace paperless. The whole idea of workflow. I don't know whether you buy that by the quart or the mile or the pound, but what the heck is workflow?
Yeah, and I'm chuckling because I recall your article or letter you wrote, I think, sometime last year about that, a workflow by the pound.
Right.
It's an interesting area because it can be so broad in terms of what it really provides you. But and we're seeing a lot of development in this part of the DMS solutions. But trying to paint the picture of what we're talking about, it's really think of workflow, I guess, as the way you would manage and move or route a paperless engagement. So that in the traditional paper model, we all know that we rely very heavily on our red rope or red weld folders, and that's the way we kind of keep track of the, you know, where things are on the production line, so to speak, is whose office are they in? Are they on the credenza or are they on the floor? Are they on the left side of the desk or the right side of the desk? That's kind of our workflow management tool in a traditional sense for many, particularly in the tax prep model. What we're talking about here with these tools is really automating all that and taking it to a much greater level of sophistication so that, for example, if I am the managing partner of my 10-person office, I can log in and ideally log in from remotely or at the office and see exactly where is every tax engagement. Whose desk is it on? What stage is it at in the process? Are there any open issues? Perhaps I can incorporate the review note tracking as part of that workflow. Perhaps I can incorporate staff scheduling as part of that workflow. Perhaps I can manage the budgeting of that project, of that engagement, and where do we stand in terms of what we quoted the client as far as the fee. So there's a lot of things that can be accomplished with a workflow tool, and it's, I would say we're probably, I guess you could argue we're either still in the first generation of workflow tools or maybe moving to the second generation, but it hasn't evolved as quickly as the scanning technology has. The whole automated scanning, some of the things we talked about a few moments ago, there seems to have been more effort in that side of things, but workflow, we can be sure, is going to continue to get a lot of attention from the vendors because that's starting to really drive a lot of decisions on which solution firms are going with.
Right, and the good news is that we have all sorts of vendors out there thinking about workflow, and they're including workflow components in their tax compliance product and in their write-up products, in their payroll products, in their document management products, in their practice management products. You know, so that's the good news. And the bad news is they're putting workflow in document management and tax and payroll and write-up, and so now I've got workflow all over, and it's not all in one spot. And so that there's a real horse race out there to figure out who can get ahead of that and give somebody an overall view of everything, because really you want to know everything about what's going on, not just I don't want to have to go over here to figure out what's going on my tax returns and somewhere else to know what's going on my A&A world.
Yeah, I always enjoy when I'm working with a firm and they're looking at different document management solutions, and we get to the workflow part of it. Inevitably, as they start to see the potential of the workflow, they want it to do everything for them. And you know, you sit back and you say, but that's really something that your practice management software should be doing or probably already is capable of doing. But it's being driven because the document management vendors are incorporating workflow functionality, some of them, in their solutions, and so that's really the first time a lot of these folks are really getting good exposure to what the whole concept is. But in the big picture, strategically, to me, workflow should be more closely aligned with the practice management applications and should be able to cover all aspects of the practice, not just tax or audit engagements,
right,
but should be, you know, more broadly, more broader in its scope of the processes in the firm that get automated.
Sure, and I believe, John, the reason that it ends up talked about with document management is that as soon as, I mean, by definition, when we have document management, we are now, quote, paperless. So the way we, as you said, you know, the way we did workflow, you know, in the tax world was I had a red rope, I had a client, I prepared the return, I did the interview, I took the red rope and I took it in, and I put it on a junior's desk, and I assigned it to him and I dropped it on his desk. And that was workflow, flowed from my office to their office. And then they reviewed it and they took it to one of the managers and dropped it on her desk for review. And the work flowed to her. And then she reviewed it, and then it went back to, for example, assembly, and it flowed back there. Well, when we became paperless, all of a sudden people looked around and said, well, how will, after I've prepared it, how does the reviewer know that they're supposed to review it, because I don't have a red rope to drop on their desk anymore?
Right.
You know, and so, I mean, that's when we really started thinking about workflow, I believe, was kind of in a response to, oh my gosh, now how do we do this? And then after that becomes the idea of people going, oh, wow, not only can we replace what we used to do, but we can move it way, way, way forward, and we can be a lot smarter about our workflows. And we can really start thinking about it. That's when they, firms, I think, go out and they start, hiring the people like you and Brian, in saying, how can you help us, figure out what those workflows are, because, you know, CPA Crossings does, you know, you're in dozens of accounting firms all over, and you've got a better understanding of that, and you don't just take what they've always done and, you know, and automate it.
Yeah, there's definitely, in all the work we've done with the different firms, it's everyone is a learning experience, because every firm is unique, and boy, it's nice to be able to go from one firm to the next and you know, share some of the ideas we learn along the way. And when you get into this workflow, it's a tool that really has a lot of potential for a firm that's really focused on working on the business, as they say, instead of working in the business. So,
sure.
A lot of potential there.
It kind of reminds me, our friend Kevin Robert, who's the CEO of the Wolters Kluwer CCH Group, Kevin refers to that process as paving the cow path. You know, you don't want to just automate a poor system. You want to, when you make this change, you want to really be smart about it and say, not only am I going to automate, but I'm going to do it smarter, not just faster. So I think that's kind of a interesting way to look at it too. So,
yeah, I think,
John,
that's a key.
Wrap me up just a little bit. We're getting close to the end of our time here, and I want you to talk a little bit about this whole idea of technology. When you sit down and review this stuff, and you look at it, some of it's web based, some of it's brand new, state of the art, all written in .NET and C sharp and C++, and other stuff is kind of old, long in the tooth, and how do you determine how much does that matter to the end user?
Well, it's I think the first big thing you want to look at relative to technology, and realizing that I'm assuming most of our audience is probably not technologists, so I don't want to get too far into the specifics of technology, but when you're looking at a document management system, the first thing you want to get an understanding of is the vendor's approach to simply basically put facade sounds kind of cheesy, but a front end to the Windows Explorer, where you're still the actual management at the operating system level of the files is really all completely handled by Windows Explorer, is one approach, or is it storing all the documents in a SQL database? And when that's the case, I mean, that's one of the primary differentiators typically between a document management system and a document storage system. If they're using a SQL database to store the document management information in, then that gives you the potential to have a lot more capability and control over how your software can manage the information that's in the system. So that's pretty big. Then from there you can get into the development platforms, whether it's .NET, for example, which seems to be where the market is evolving to fairly rapidly. And then you also have somewhat related is whether or not the system is available in a hosted solution, so that you could leave the driving to someone else, leave the driving to the vendor, so to speak, to manage the application and the infrastructure, and then that frees your organization up to focus on integrating the system into the business processes. So That's kind of a very broad look at the technology, and we could get into that all in a lot more detail down the road as well.
It really just it's understanding you're not really just buying software here. You're buying into the vision and the long-term play of this vendor. I mean, you want to make sure that these guys are going to be around, that they understand things, they're a long-term player, you're buying an artificial heart, right?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, there's I continue to like to impress upon accounting and tax professionals that you got to make sure you have established your strategy. You don't have to do a 3-week strategic planning session, but you need to spend some time thinking, where do we really want to go with this, so that you can have a roadmap that you then want to evaluate the different vendor solutions against. Because otherwise, it's just like going out and shopping for the best price or whichever vendor gives you the flashiest demo. But there's real potential here to increase your efficiencies significantly and improve your ability to service your clients significantly. So you need to really get that strategy down and then go out and do the market research.
So, John, we're about at the end of our time here, so I want to wrap up with just a couple of notes to our listeners to remind everyone that we do maintain a voicemail box. So if you've got questions or thoughts or comments or concerns or whatever, give us a call. The number is 800-456-0864, and our extension for the Intersection Live mailbox is 2106. If you've got a question, be sure to give us a call, and I'll pose it to John, and we'll deal with it. Additionally, we record all of our podcasts live on TalkShoe. I see we've had a couple of guests listening in today, John, and it's always fun. Occasionally, in some of the other podcasts, we actually bring people in and invite guests in and take their questions and talk to them, and that's always fun. So we will be recording our next episode, episode 4. We're skipping the month of April, John. I will be in Brazil for the entire month of April. With a Rotary group, so John's been kind enough to agree to give me the month off, and we'll be recording episode 4 on May 7th, the 7th of May at 3:30 p.m. Central Daylight Time, 3:30 Central on May 7th. We'll be recording episode 4, so if you'd like to join us, come on over and tune in. Just go to talkshoe.com and you'll see us there, and you can just listen right from your computer, or if you choose, you can dial in and you can raise your hand electronically, and if you've got a question, we'll bring you in and try to answer it. That might be kind of fun to do. So John Higgins, partner in the well-known strategy and consulting firm of CPA Crossings out in the Detroit area, longtime reviewer and writer and contributor to the CPA Technology Advisor, also a CITP. Thank you for that, John.
You betcha.
We sure appreciate your help in launching Document Management for Accountants. This has been episode 3 of DMA for Accountants, part of the CPA Technology Advisors Intersection Live podcast series. If you'd like to check in on our other podcasts, we do Tech to Go and Accounting Firm Security to Go let's see, we do Small Business Consulting to Go, so we've got quite a group over there, and they're sure fun to do, and we've got a great solid group of listeners, and we look forward to visiting with you again. John, thanks again for the month of April off, and this concludes episode 4 of Document Management for Accountants. I'm sorry, episode 3. Episode 4 is next month. Thank you so very much, John. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
That wraps up this edition of Document Management for Accountants to Go. Join Greg and John again next month for more insight and advice on document management issues. This has been a podcast provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting.